Good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday, so that means it's time for Tom and Shane. And of course, what we're going to do today, we're going to have some fun, Shane, because we're going to talk about, we're going to predict 2022. We're going to make our predictions on all sorts of stuff.
Well, you just lead on, Eagle Man, because I'm right here for you, buddy.
All right. Well, the first thing we got to start with is the stock market. Shane, back in 2020, I think we were pretty sure the stock market was going to 40 and above, but the COVID kind of came along and put the kibosh on that. And we've languished around 36, 37 for the past, 18 months. So will 2022 be the year we finally get out of the doldrums and move on to the big number, big 40?
Well, the interesting aspect that I don't think anyone's considered that may play on this is what happens in China. You know, this whole issue that they're having with their real estate companies and their Nazi held, companies that the country's funded, and where it's going to take them, because between those companies and the consumer product companies that they have that manufacture so many other companies around the world, they have a 400 million middle class. So if this turns against them, if the global economy feels a hurt by China, that has a collapse of, even 10 or 20% would be pretty significant.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Apple just became a $3 trillion company, first company to ever make that transition or that level, I guess. So we're looking at that in the future. And, obviously Apple competing with Samsung and whatever, Nokia and all the others that are out there. Seem to be doing okay. And, so I'm wondering is that an indication? We've always thought the market was a little overvalued for whatever reason. The profit to earnings ratios are pretty high on a lot of these companies, higher than they should be, higher than they normally would be.
That's correct. So, yes.
Yeah. So we're kind of looking now. With the COVID situation, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but the with the COVID situation, more and more people getting it, more and more people becoming immune, or supposedly they'll have a natural immunity if they've caught the virus or whatever. And we've also found that people have found they can work from home and perhaps have started new home-based businesses that we aren't aware of. So there's that.
Well, all of these things have such a huge effect on the costs of companies and their cash flow. I'm reminded in 1987 that the market to 36,000, and it's dropped, of course, since then significantly. It dropped by half. And it's never really trailed back, tailed back to that. When you look at these situations on a global aspect, a lot of the history is there. It's overvalued. Apple in particular, they've got 16.4 billion shares out. That in itself is one of the reasons probably that it's trading at the price it is that there's nowhere else to, for wealthy or especially extreme wealthy, the billionaires to put their money. So, they just park it in all these stocks that we talk about, the FANG stocks in particular, Facebook, Apple, Google, and, Netflix even. So we'll see where it takes us. But I don't anticipate a big upside this year to the market, especially if the Fed starts raising interest rates. And we'll see a tightening of, the debt that the U.S. is issuing. I've been very concerned about it for, since May. So can't go against It can't go against what I'm worried about.
Well, that's our next topic, is the national debt, because we do have a situation that you talk about regularly, that people aren't buying our debt anymore. Well, they're not buying it in as much as they have been in the past. So
that's right.
Our bonds aren't selling. They put up X number of bonds, and half of them, or less than half of them, sell. So that is an issue that's going to have to be corrected. I really think that the Federal Reserve will raise rates this year.
They've already said that they would. Yeah, you know, yeah. I one prediction I can see, because we saw this before. I saw it 6 years ago it would have been 7 years ago, I guess, mm-hmm. after the debacle of 2008. You know, the euro almost went par. Yeah. With the U.S. dollar, which, you know, the euro right now is at $1.29, or $1.12, excuse me, and it was trading as high as $1.29 to the U.S. dollar. So, if the euro ends up par to the U.S. dollar, that's a tough one there, buddy, don't you think?
Well, it will be, also with England getting out, then the whole thing is going to fall on Germany. So, you know, you got that going for you. So
that's right. Yeah. I mean, the pound sterling's at $1.35 to the US dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a pretty harsh reality that you're dealing with here. And, you know, the Canadians 127, but mm-hmm. my goodness, the 65 cents on the pound in Britain, yeah. makes their products cheap, and that's great for them to export. But
also today the NASDAQ has taken a dive, because the 10-year went up to 1.6, I think. So every time the bond goes up, NASDAQ takes a dive.
That's correct.
So we're looking at that. The market's up 300 points, I guess, last time I looked this morning. So
I'd say it's up 234 today, and S&P 500 is down 5.8, and as you point out, NASDAQ's down 306. So and that's NASDAQ is, you know, it's pretty much tech and new companies, right?
Right.
Basically, yeah. as opposed to the Dow.
Yeah. Hey, if you're just joining us, hey, don't forget, subscribe, like us, and ring the notification bell. You'll never miss another podcast. Like us, leave a comment. We would appreciate that very much. We use StreamYard to make these videos, so if you'd like to do this yourself, it's very easy. That's why we use StreamYard, because we are technically challenged. We can barely use a touchtone smartphone. So the very fact that we're even on at all is pretty amazing.
It is pretty remarkable.
And if you want to support the show monetarily, there's a link in the YouTube description. Become a Patreon person. Help us out. Because there is some cost involved in putting these things on. So we appreciate anything that you can do. And, let's see. Shane, our next topic, we need to talk about the economy. And we talked about it briefly. Unemployment's still up there. Many people out of the workforce still. Government is coming to the rescue, probably too much, making it easier for people to stay out of the workforce than in it. So are we going to abandon these bailouts in 2022? What do you think?
Well, I think the difficulty that your government has now, particularly this government and their policy, is they're sort of hung on it. They won't be able to do it directly without, you know, more debt being authorized by the House of Representatives, which I just don't see happening. Mm-hmm. And then the other problem that you have is commodities. You know, with the slowdown in the expected GDP of China, or it getting worse, not better. And the combination of oil, I mean, today oil's is over $80. It's $80.07. It's not a big run up, but U.S. crude is 77. So again, it's broken that 10% difference in price, which creates an alarm for me. Gas is heading back up. It's at 380. And so, or natural gas, I mean. And so these things that have such a huge impact, as we discussed, but aren't accounted for, you know, inflation. I think you're going to see that the American economy might very well slow to, you know, no growth this year. I mean, everyone's saying, oh, it's going to be fine and we're going to come back. But I'm not, you know, they just shut down 160,000 businesses in New York City again.
Yeah. Well, just to show you how uninformed some people are, U.S. employment falls to a 50-year low, hardly a 52-year low.
That's right.
Not even close. So please don't even go there with that. We had higher unemployment in the 2019 and 20.
It's one of these things because, again, they don't include any numbers of illegal or undocumented, I guess you call them now, because you have to be politically correct. So they don't have any numbers from undocumented people in the workforce. And, you know, those people are probably more upset than anyone not working because they want to. Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But we're now in 2022. It is officially an election year there, Eagle Man.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute, too.
Yeah.
What about COVID? So we got COVID out there. As I say, you know, every time, from what they tell me anyway, every time someone gets it, you've got some form of natural immunity. You can get it again, but it's not going to be as bad. You know, the Omicron variant isn't as serious as far as it's very contagious, but the symptoms seem to be pretty mild, and deaths from directed from that is pretty low. So is this year going to be more or less back to normal, or is this COVID still going to be, you know, on everybody's back burner as to people coming to work and what they have to wear and, you know, well, shots and everything else?
I just think we're at that stage now. And I go by this by history. You know, they talk about the Spanish flu a lot. But I look at it more of a comparison to the H1N1 of 2009. And it took 11 years and 3 years to get a vaccine, and then 11 years. And we basically reached herd immunity on it. And I tend to think, or would like to believe, that this recent, you know, version, you know, that they have generated so much fear over, like the other ones, the Omicron, as I call it, the Omicron. I think it's just a weaker version of the original virus, and it's telling us that we're going to probably reach herd immunity quicker than we did with the Spanish flu 100 years ago, which took about 5 years. And with the H1N1, which took us, 2009, 11 years. So we'll see where we're at this year. But I don't think we're going to be overwhelmed like they keep, you know, suggesting by it. And I think people will recover at home more with this, you know, this version of what we now know is basically a common cold that can really get bad.
Yeah, it certainly can. Well, next thing, we got Russia, China, North Korea, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Middle East. It never ends, Shane.
It doesn't.
So I don't see Biden standing up to any of these people. You know, we've already seen a demonstration against the Taliban that went south.
Yeah.
Well, he's had talks with Putin and Xi, and nothing's really happening. I haven't seen them quaking in their boots because of his, foreign policy strength.
Well, the one thing about Trump that all these gentlemen had in common was he made it easy for them to make him the enemy in view of their the people that they controlled. He was easy. It was easy. Well, he's the enemy. Biden, not so much. So it's not like the media has allowed these people to have an out. So they've sort of had to create an enemy to maintain control. China's not. I'll just go on the record with Taiwan. I don't see China even thinking. Well, they'll talk a lot about Taiwan, but they're not going to do it. The risk is too great that, first of all, they won't succeed, which I don't think militarily they will. And second of all, the economic danger of it on a global basis is just too extreme. It's a bridge too far to speak, use an expression from World War II. Putin, I think, is the same way. I think he's looked at it and he said it's not worth the risk that he has. And I think he's backed down because it's an oligarch and he's not the only wealthy guy in the country. You know, there's about 120 other guys. And they're basically all the ones that are going to say to him, "Not bad for business."
Yeah, yeah. China looks generations out, not election year at a time. And that certainly is absolutely true. They do that. They are in for the long game. We are in for the short game. We're 2 years at a time, and that's the way we play it. And to our detriment, none of the politicians seem to look ahead, Shane, to anything.
Well, other than their own re-election, right? As you well pointed out.
Well, that's what I mean.
Out.
Yeah,
yeah, no, I know that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. Yeah. I do think that the Democrats will lose control of the House. It's historically just that's what happens. So how much of a loss is it? 20 seats or 60 seats or 65 even?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Senate is another thing. I think for them to pick up even two or three seats might be a possibility, but it's not necessarily likely. It depends on where the economy is at, of course. We'll see. Yeah.
Well, the average ever since Carter, I think, has been 29 seats flip.
That's right. It's about 29, 30,
whatever, yeah. Something like that. Every midterm, the whoever's in power suffers, seems to be anyway. So,
yeah, it's happened since Carter, and I don't see any reason for it not to.
Yeah, I don't see any changes there. Sandy says, "I'm sick of hearing about COVID. It's a flu like many others. Yes, it's real. Yes. People die, get over it. It's been politicized. I'll agree with everything she has to say there. Linda agrees with you, Shane.
Thank you, Linda. You're a sweetheart.
Well, Linda says, I agree, Shane. So she agrees with that. So there you are. Yeah. So that's kind of where we find ourselves on that topic. Let's see what else we got here. Well, we've got to talk about the midterms. We just sort of did, but we want to finish up with the midterms because we've got a lot of retirements going on, Shane. A lot of retirements happening.
That's right.
So that's always
19, right? Yeah. 19 Democrats so far and 3 Republicans. Yeah. And I think a lot of Republicans are going to be primary as well as Democrats. Yeah. I think both parties are going to find themselves with, opposition to them running, and which is a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, it's very interesting because the American people are paying attention more because of social media in the 21st century and news. So when you have a senator, like from West Virginia, that has shown an inclination to be basically in charge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. he sort of helped Biden out, because you can't blame Biden.
True.
But on the other side, to have one person in government, to have that indisputable amount of power is a pretty, that's a hard one for people to look at and say, gee, maybe we should have a bit of a majority of in the Senate as well. So that could play an easy card for the Republicans. But on the other side is Americans are seeing when you have a majority of one or both houses, there's not a lot of compromise. So, the Republicans are saying, well, trust us with the power in both houses. Mm-hmm. I'd like to say, a pox on both your houses.
Yeah.
But it's so old used. It's difficult. COVID on both your houses. How's that?
Yeah, right. There you are. Well, Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania is running as a Republican.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, this guy, was the go-to guy in Pennsylvania and the New York Times and everything about COVID. Now he's persona non grata because he came out as a Republican. So the New York Times is bashing him. Everybody else is bashing him as all of a sudden he has zero credibility now.
And I think it's isn't it Senator Johnson from Indiana is a Republican? And, you know, he got elected in 16, I think, when Trump came along. And, you know, here he is like, you know, one term, right, or whatever, and he's not even staying. So, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It's going to be there's so much that'll happen this year that'll be interesting.
There you go. All right. Oh, my gosh. Well.
The other thing is Persia, you know, the Iranians.
Yeah.
Do they develop or end up with a nuclear weapon? Mm-hmm. Do they test it to show everyone they have one?
Yeah.
And now that they have a platform to deliver it, you know, all of a sudden Israel is back in the game. And so is Saudi Arabia because, you know, they hate the Persians or Sunnis and they hate those other Muslims out there. So, you know, they have as much of a dislike for Saudi Arabia as they do as for Israel. So, game on, I guess you'd say.
Yep, that's where we'll find ourselves. So, well, I think we've covered most everything, Shane, this morning. I don't know, it's probably things we haven't covered. Supply chain, we could talk about that, I guess, but I don't know, that's going to work itself out probably.
And I also predict that you and I will survive another year.
Well, okay. We'll go along with that. So, well, of course, we're recording this so we can go back and see if our predictions held any water.
That's right.
At the end of the year. So, hey, don't forget to subscribe and ring the notification bell. Like us. Nothing will happen to you if you do that. You know, I mean, come on. Just, you know, get it done. It'll be fine. Nobody will shoot you or anything. And if you'd like to support the show monetarily, there's a link in the description below and the perks and things that you get for doing that. So we would appreciate that very much. And that's where we find ourselves, Shane. So, hey, thanks everybody for watching. We appreciate it very much. And we'll see you on the next podcast.